Hey there, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, 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 yo. Right back to the Keith McPherson Show. Let's go. I don't got no flows yet. Like, I don't ever want to freestyle off the top, because if you ever freestyle rap, you can say something that you can't take. Like, I don't want to freestyle rap and then have to hit the dumb button. Might say something explicit. Might say something not for the kids. This is a children's program, but I do owe y'all some bars. I do owe y'all some bars. Soon. One day I'm just going to be in here and talk about the trade deadline and Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and Anthony Volpe, and then the rejoin beat is going to play, and then I'm about to rap my ass off. 16 bars on him. I'm overdue. I ain't got the time for that. Breaking news out of the NFL. Von Miller's not done yet, folks. And these players are breaking their own news these days. Sauce Gardner broke the news of his deal. 36-year-old Von Miller posts himself in a Commanders uniform on his Instagram. Yes, the Washington Bummanders. They're not bums anymore. I was talking the other day, I was watching NFL Network, and they said the Jets could be the Commanders of this year. The Commanders are trying to be the Eagles of this year. Funny enough, I had said, who's winning the Super Bowl? The Eagles going back-to-back? Like, they got to deal with the Commanders in division. The Giants have to deal with them as well. So the Dallas Cowboys. But anyway, Von Miller's not done yet. It'll be a one-year deal between Von Miller and the Washington Commanders, but the two sides are still finalizing terms, reports Adam Schefter. Von Miller and Bobby Wagner, two surefire Hall of Famers, are now teammates on the 2025 Commanders. I was just reading something about how the Commanders have, like, the oldest average team age in the NFL. Let me see if I can verify that, if I can find that, where I caught that from. Yeah. Sleeper Commanders. The Commanders are the oldest team in the NFL by average age. Their average age is 27 years and 47 days, and they just signed Von Miller, so that probably ticks up a year at least. He's 36, so they're in the clear of the oldest team. It's a young man's game, but I just think the Commanders, with Jaden Daniels, I can't believe Jaden Daniels, bro. I mean, I can, but I can't believe Jaden. Maybe some people think Jaden Daniels could be a one-year wonder, could be a fluke, that the league could watch enough film on him, study his game. I just don't think so. I think you could study Jaden Daniels' game. He's got a lot of game. He can kill you with his legs. He can kill you with his arm. And he is unfazed, and he does that virtual reality training where he's waking up in the morning at 6 a.m. and he's looking at defenses and film, and he's like training at two times the speed. Like, what? I can't wait for football to start. But we've already started a conversation around the trade deadline, the Mets, the Yankees, who they're going to go after. Shout out to everybody in the chat, as everybody in the chat keeps throwing out ideas and things. As I was talking about Jose Ramirez, Carlos says, Jose Ramirez left $100 million on the table to extend with Cleveland. You got a better chance of eating ice cream in hell. He's not getting traded. Like, that guy wants to kick it in Ohio. Like, he wants to be a guardian. And I don't blame him. You know, same thing with these Atlanta Braves. Some of these guys just like the privacy and the peace of being in a smaller market and a more rural country type area. Like, not everybody wants to be a Yankee. And you know what? Even the guys that think they want to be a Yankee or think they want to be a Met, they're not built for it. They're not cut out for it. Like, they get here and it's a lot. It's crazy. It's too much.
I went to school in Ohio. Ashland University, small D2 school.
Yeah.
There is just nothing there. Like, I don't see the vision. I've never been. For Jose Ramirez.
I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever even driven through Ohio.
Like, I'm all for privacy, but, like, you gotta want more in your life, man. Like,
a guy like Jose Ramirez, he's sitting on cash in Ohio when he's playing for 8 months during the season, and then in the offseason, he's dipping to the Dominican Republic. He's got all the money he needs. But you know what? I look at these guys, too, and I know he hangs out with, you know, all the Dominican players and Juan Soto. I'm like, Jose Ramirez, you see what the money that Juan Soto's got? You don't want more? You don't? Oh, no, bro. I want to go to the big market and get the big money. It's only a short amount of time that you play. It's only a short amount of time that you have to maximize your talents. But yeah, I don't know. I think Austin Riley is a long shot. I think J-Ram is a long shot. And now we'll go to the phones and we'll see what you guys think. 888, you know the number to dial. Dennis is in Wharton on the fan. What's up, Dennis?
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good, man. Hanging out, watching Summer League, looking at trade deadline rumors and breaking news from the NFL.
Big man, I've been a fan for a while. My first time calling it.
Ding, ding, ding. I appreciate that, man. What made you call in tonight?
I was thinking, with this Suarez guy that we're going after, I've been a Yankee fan my whole life. I'm 22 years old, and, this management and Boone is really, they kill me. They just make bad decisions all the time, and I look at a guy like Suarez, who's great defensively, but, I feel like he has too much power with his hitting. We need guys that can get on base, I heard the guy earlier saying, Bronx Bombers, Bronx Bombers. We can't be boom or bust every year.
Yeah. No, I understand. And I understand the fear of, he strikes out a lot. And if we get to the postseason and it's too much for him to be a Yankee and he's swinging out of his shoes and striking out a lot, it's he could be the next dud. He was putting on a clinic last night at third base where I'm like, this guy, he's literally in a showcase for the league. Hey, somebody come and get me. I wouldn't be mad at them going to get him. I'm looking for a third baseman that can hit for more average, though. We have enough guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's what Stanton's here to do. Obviously, Judge is the most prolific power hitter we've seen. Even Belly can turn it on once in a while. And then you've got guys like Ben Rice and Dominguez, and you've got guys mixed in between that can hit homers. Trent Grisham, if he stays around, I would like to have somebody that can slap the ball in theory, like DJ LeMahieu used to do.
Yeah. I mean, but what other options do we got right now? I've been working a lot, so I haven't done a lot of research, but, I don't really see any other viable options for that position.
Yeah, it's Ryan McMahon. It's Key Brian Hayes. It's not Austin Riley. It's not J-Ram. I'm trying to think what other third base. Willie Castro's name I haven't brought up yet tonight. I like the thought of Willie Castro.
Isn't he getting old, though?
Yeah, aren't we all? Willie Castro is 28, and he's in the window with the Yankees. He's got a 265 average, a 791 OPS. The Minnesota Twins are sinking fast. Willie Castro's name just entered the chat.
Damn it. That'll be better. I don't know. We'll see what they do.
Right, at the end of the day,
I lose faith every year, and then exactly. I get hope that right back into it.
At the end of the day, don't get your hopes up too much. Thanks for the call, Dennis. Appreciate you making your first call. At the end of the day, bro, in cash we trust, Cashman will turn the deal down and not get finessed. He will prospect hug. He will prospect hug Oswald Peraza until we are in the year 2025 looking at Peraza not be able to lay down a bunt. So I don't know. I don't know. Here's what I do know. They picked up Nicky Lopez. They picked up Jaime Candelario. And do not be surprised. Right now, they're quote-unquote depth. Boone was asked about them in the last series. He said, yeah, they're, they're Triple-A depth. Don't be surprised where we go through this deadline and the asking price is too high and all of a sudden, it's like, okay, here comes Peraza getting DFA'd, and now Jaime Candelario's coming up. Who, at one point he was good. I feel like a couple years ago he was good. He signed that contract, and we were looking at him, or we were talking about his name had come up. Maybe they can turn back the clock. Willie Castro's younger than him. He's 32. Willie Castro's 28. And then Nicky Lopez is another one where, it doesn't really, he can feel, but we need someone that can hit. Because if you're just getting a right-handed hitting third baseman that can field, then you have Peraza. I need somebody that can double Peraza's 150 batting average. Jake is in Franklin Park next. What's up, Jake?
Yo, Keith, appreciate the call, bro.
You got it.
Yeah, man. So I think someone that's been catching my eye a little bit, you know, that would be, you know, someone that we could keep an eye on if the, you know, Suarez thing doesn't work out, is Josh Smith with the Rangers. You know, I know Josh Young went down.
Come on back.
You hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Josh Smith was a Yankee. He was in the Gallo trade.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we, in terms of super utility, bro, that's a better IKF, if you really think about it. If I see IKF in a Yankee jersey again, I don't think I can turn in anymore, bro.
He who shall not be mentioned. I did not even bring up Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, bro, because, like, there's nothing. I don't think that's a real thing. I know there are some Yankee fans.
Not.
There are some weird Yankee fans that are actually like, IKF, bring IKF back. And I'm like, what would you – I wouldn't give up anything for IKF. I wouldn't even give up Peraza for IKF. Actually, I would give up Peraza for IKF. But I don't think the Yankees are looking to – no one's taking Peraza, but I don't think the Yankees are looking to give up anything to get a second tour of IKF, who they already traded for and he failed and it didn't work right.
Yeah, exactly, dude. And I think Josh Smith is just a better version of that. Super utility man. I mean, his fielding is an elite. I think he has like a -2 OAA last time I checked, something like that. But I mean, good bat, like upper seven OPS. Like,
yeah, 769 OPS, a .277 average. Not enough runs batted in, but that can change if he's on this team. Not too many homers, 84 hits, and maybe he's invigorated by, hey, I get a second chance with the Yankees. You know the Yankees love second tours, but IKF as a second tour, hell no. Thanks for the call, Jake. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's going to be somebody nobody's thinking of, nobody's talking about. Cashman's got his eye on a third baseman that nobody's thinking of. Maybe someone that we don't even think is available, and not the Jay Rams, Austin Rileys. Not the big name guys like that. It's going to be somebody random as hell. Nolan Arenado, we don't speak of anymore because they could have been had Nolan Arenado if they really wanted him. It's really like Ryan McMahon, Key Brian Hayes, Eugenio Suarez, and then once in a while you'll hear like a Willie Castro thrown into the mix. And I'm kind of now that I remember Willie Castro as an option, I'm kind of leaning towards Willie Castro being the option. Ryan McMahon, they're going to tell you he's a product of Coors Field. And he's not even producing that much in Coors Field. But I also think if you play for the Colorado Rockies, like how much are you really going out there? Like, oh, I'm going to ball today. Like, you're going out there, you're going through the motions. Like, man, I can't wait till they get me up out of here. So now we throw Josh Smith into the mix. I don't know. I always think that Cashman moves with like a sense of pride. I always feel like Cashman moves with a sense of like, you know, my past moves or prospects or whatever. Like, you know, we're not doubling back for IKF and, you know, we already let go of Josh Smith because of how we evaluated him or whatever. Like, we're not going to double dip and go back. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they will. But I can't call it, man. I don't even try and fool you guys. I'm not that type of, like, I'm not that deep into the prospects. And I don't think I'm a GM. I love the Yankees. I love going to the stadium. I love turning up the stadium. I'm a fan. And I'm waiting on trade deadline day. I'm patiently waiting and refreshing Twitter, hoping that we get some good news. But like, did I know they were going to trade Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader? No, I didn't mind that move because at the time I had said, you know, Jordan Montgomery, they don't score runs for him. And you needed somebody to play center field, even if Harrison Bader was in a walking boot. I'm like, he'll eventually come out of it. I felt like it was a good move. And with Jordan Montgomery, I'm like, they always treat him like Jacob deGrom. He pitches and they can't score. I feel like he had this like slow demeanor and delivery before the pitch clock where they, you know, they had to give to get. And speaking of Jacob deGrom's not getting traded. I know Evan Roberts, shout out to Evan. Evan, if you're listening, wherever you are across the pond right now, it is probably, I don't know, was it 8-hour time difference over there? Like, it's probably freshly in the morning for you. Evan is hilarious. Evan posts these videos, and I'm not going to text him because I don't want to bother him. I know he texts the guys on his show. But why does Evan post the videos from his, like, chin up? Like, extend your arm and do the selfie video straight up and down, like a TikTok or a reel. He does the landscape view, and it's just his neck, his chin, and his head. I know he's not doing it on purpose either. It's just like such an Evan type of thing.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought this, because I saw the exact same thing.
I think it's what he's doing is flexing the background. Like, there's mountains behind him. I think he had like the Colosseum behind him, and like, not for now. Like, I was gonna say I love going to Europe. I don't go anymore now that I have a kid. But like, I think if you've gone to Europe before, it's like we get what's over. We know what's over there. But I think it's Evan's way of like landscape flexing. Like, look where I am. This doesn't look much like Citi Field. But I'm like, bro, like, zoom out. It's like every video is just like your head. It's like you're like the neighbor peeking over the fence. But anyway, Evan, yeah. DeGrom, not on the table. Who do you want? And then I'm scrolling through Evan's page, and I guess he retweeted somebody put John from Masbeth. They put his head as the apple in center field. I mean, I know I get it from Mets fans for the trolling online, but John from Masbeth has become public enemy number one. Met fans' number one target as far as we are cooking this guy. They have photoshopped him. They have put him on everything. But yeah, Evan, call us up, man. Or call in the afternoon show. Tell us who's on the trail. Like I was saying today, I spoke to this guy, Brian, that's a friend in common of Evan. And I'm like, this is a week where I felt like I needed to hear from Evan. And it's like, you know, the Jets 2 signings, and Evan chimed in with a video. But then also the All-Star game, and Evan being such a baseball nerd, I'm like, I got to hear Evan Roberts' take on the swing off. Evan Roberts' thoughts on the ABS system. Evan Roberts' thoughts on Major League Baseball and how this all played out. And Ohtani and Judge not being in it. And like, how did he feel about, you know, Pete Alonso not getting the, I'm like, Evan Roberts would have crushed it this week. It's kind of how it shakes out. Let's go to the Bronx. Joe, you're on the fan. You got it, man. Go for it.
Yo, what's up, my brother from another color? How you doing, baby?
I'm good, man. In here.
Yo, so check this. What do you think? So now, I know it'll be hard to pull off, but either with the Yanks, the Orioles got a ton of infield prospects. The Mets have a ton of, air quote, infield prospects. Would you flip, like, with the Mets, would you flip Grisham for Beatty? And with the Orioles, would you flip Spencer Jones for, like, Jordan Westberg?
Jordan Westberg, yeah. Brett Beatty, no. Trent Grisham, I'm down to trade.
Why?
Westberg is a dog. I think he's better than Beatty. Yeah. And also, Westberg's a right-handed hitter, right? Beatty's left-handed.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, with the Mets, they need a center fielder. So you go Grisham. The Orioles would need, like, you know, like, I mean, obviously, like, I mean, the Orioles probably, everybody's pitching, but
Cedric,
you know,
Mullins? You could probably get Cedric Mullins off the Orioles. But yeah, I don't know.
That would be the Mets. I'm talking about the Yanks. The Yanks need a third baseman.
Yeah, the Yanks need a third baseman, where Jordan Westberg, I don't think the Orioles would give him to us because they got to see him. Brett Beatty, I also don't think the Mets and Yankees are going to do business. I don't think the Yankees are going to be interested in a left-handed third baseman that makes errors every.
Well, I'm just saying, Beatty, but even what about, all right, well, what about Vientos? I mean,
what about him? I know he kind of turned it on in the Royals series, but what position does Mark Vientos play?
Good call.
Third base?
You know, I just feel like cash, you know, like, you know, as far as like the rent, you know, as far as like a rental and with payroll and stuff like that, I feel like, you know, they operate more now, like trying to get somebody under control, you know, so I don't, like, even though Suarez would be, you know, we don't need him, even though he would be a great addition, they would have to give up a lot, and he's just another, you know, he's a home run strikeout guy.
Yeah, but they're probably going for veteran players that are all-stars and proven, like Brett Beatty's 25, Jordan Westberg's 26. I don't think they're making moves for those type of guys. And they're a crosstown rival and a division rival where, you know, it's not going to line up.
I hear you. All right, brother. Be good, man.
Thanks for the call, Joe. But yeah, I think there's something to Cedric Mullins to the Mets. He was an all-star a couple years ago. He's not going to get paid by the Orioles. I don't know why they got a new ownership group with money and then they don't want to pay their own guys. They didn't want to pay Santander. They didn't want to pay Corbin Burns. And it seems like they are just a long ways away from that 101 win season. Yeah, I'd want to check on Cedric Mullins if I'm the Mets. 888-808-1019. You speak of the devil and the devil will arrive. John from Massbeth on the
fan. I'm sitting there driving, just heard you.
Bro, I'm looking at Evan's like Europe trip, his Euro trip, and all of his photos or his videos as he's taking them to flex the sightseeing. And then I guess he retweeted a tweet that says, special thanks to John from Massbeth for being yesterday's honorary home run apple for the 4th of July. And it's a Photoshop image.
I've seen it. All these Mets fans, you know, they all show me love. It's all reciprocal. You know, they're going to have their day Saturday. You know, their little fake captain who has zero accomplishments, David Wright. Did you see this bobblehead they got for him, though?
Oh, no, you did tell me to look that up. And I think I saw Darren from the 7 line was talking about it.
Yeah. He's the I saw it on the 7 line's account on X. This thing is so stupid. The arm
he's holding two gloves and two bats.
And it's got two gloves. Like, it literally has two gloves on one hand. Like, what is that? Is that like a defect?
I just searched David Wright bobblehead on Twitter, and first it comes up a post from the Mets July 9th where it says, be one of the first 15,000 fans in attendance Sunday, July 20th, to receive your David Wright bobblehead. And then when I click on it, I'm like, yeah, he's holding two gloves and two bats, but then right under it, the 7 line, it's a video of Darren, and he's saying the David Wright bobblehead is awesome, totally went over my head that the two bats and gloves were for the Silver Slugger and Gold Glove awards. So it's honoring him winning the Silver Slugger and Gold Gloves.
They only given away 15,000 of them?
I mean, their ballpark get like 35,000 people in there. So
all that money Steve Cohen's got, man, he can't just order an extra couple thousand? Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
man.
Yankees give you at least 18,000. At least 18,000.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, at least we get 18,000, and you know, we got our owner who counts pennies sometimes, you know. But at the Mets, you know, we're gonna talk about the trade deadline too. You know, it's third base. You know, with Suarez, I keep hearing his name a lot. I like him, but I think that price is gonna be way too high.
Yeah, and he screams to me like the year was Joey Gallo was the obvious guy. They get him and it doesn't work. The year that Benintendi was the obvious guy, they get him and he gets hurt and it doesn't work out.
Yeah, right. You know, the thing I want the Yanks to focus on, though, is that bullpen. You know, I don't want one arm. I don't want two arms. I want three more arms in that circle of trust. Because this bullpen is the weakest it's been in quite a while. And, you know, that circle of trust is thin and it's got to get up there, you know?
Yeah.
We got Williams and Weaver and...
And if you're going to have to take Rodon out of games, if you're going to have to take Max Fried out of games, you better have some bullpen depth.
Yeah. I'm fine with, you know, putting a killer Cam in a bullpen. It'd be nice to have a guy who could throw 100 in there. It'd be nice to have another guy on top of killer Cam who could throw 100. But, you know, that's what you need in the playoffs. You need a guy who can start throwing 100 miles an hour in the seventh inning. They hand the ball off to, Weaver and Williams.
I like the idea of having Cam Schlittler make another couple starts, and then when Luis Gil comes back and Yarby comes back, if Yarby doesn't come back to the rotation, he's more of a long man out of the pen, but Cam Schlittler being a flamethrower,
you know,
I can see that.
You know the one arm that I really want? I've seen his name in some rumors. That dude from the Twins, Johan Duran. That dude throws like 102, man.
Everybody's expecting you want a second tour of Harrison Bader? Everybody's expecting the Twins to sell off Bader.
Nah, we don't need a Bader. We got a Trent Grisham in center field who can play good defensively. You know, we don't need another Bader. We don't need Bader.
If his hamstring is good, because he was kind of chilling on that hamstring, hopefully the All-Star break helped him and he's ready to go.
Well, you know what? Well, you know what? How about you just throw him on the IL for about 2 or 3 weeks, and we get Spencer Jones red hot bat up here.
And see how that changes too.
Major league level.
Spencer Jones can play center field. He can play left field.
Listen, we've seen a lot of prospects only spend a week or two in AAA and get called up to the majors and do well. We've seen
Ben
prospects
Rice.
Skip AAA and do well. You know, so why not just listen? If Trent Grisham's got a little hammy, why not just go throw him on the IL for about, you know, 2-3 weeks, get that hammy straight, and see what Spencer Jones can do. If he's smashing, you know what? They keep him up, you know?
Yeah.
Why not?
Sounds like a plan
it's
to
not
me.
Not going to stunt his growth or whatever. It's not going to ruin his confidence. You know, he's going to be excited to come up if he can contribute with the bat, if he can play good defensively in center field. Guess what? He can stay. If he's struggling, then you send him back down for a little bit, you know? He knows it's not going to be long-term if he does, you know, if he's not doing well.
He's 24 years old. If he survives this trade deadline, why not run it? Why not see him? Thanks for the call, John. We're up against it. We got to break it down. I'm running out of time. I always feel like I'm running out of time on the show, and I get 5 hours. Told you, though, this might be the best 5 hours you hear on the station. Might be the best 5 hours of radio. Have you listened for the whole 5 hours? It hasn't been the whole 5 hours yet. We're at 3.5, coming up on 4, and then 5. 11 o'clock, we'll do the big shot of the night. We'll do open mic, and we'll throw in some other different things. I do want to talk about Dave Portnoy and Barstool and how Fox Sports 1 is cleaning house. But, like, man, I don't know. If you're my age, you watch Barstool come up. We'll get to it. 888-808-1019. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan talking sports. What else? Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Hey there, it's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. Tune in to our show and join me in making some regrettable decisions. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, I'm ready. Stay ready so you don't gotta get ready. That's what they were telling them last night before the swing off. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'm talking to people in the live chat. I should make this a segment. Things from the chat. Let's see. Ad Talk Mets says, hey, they were talking about a Corey Seager trade on baseball night in New York, trading him to the Mets and shifting him to third base. Corey Seager, that contract is a lot. He's hurt a lot. And Corey Seager is a Yankee fan. Does he have a no-trade clause in his contract? I don't know. I don't know. Let's see. Nathaniel Isaac says, Keith, how much longer do you think we'll be stuck on Volpe one more year after this? I think he's arbitration eligible going into next year. I would say that Volpe is a lock to be your shortstop this year. Potentially 2026, but I don't know. He's got to produce. Fingers crossed. I'm rooting for the kid to produce. Back to the phones we go because people have been waiting. Got two guys named Jack waiting. Let's see. I'm going to go in alphabetical order from where their location is. Let's start with Jack in Edison on The Fan. What's up, Jack?
Hey, what's up, Keith?
Hanging out. Thanks for calling. How's it going?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I'm just thinking about this tree talk. When was the last time Brian Cashman ever traded three, like, legitimate prospects for, like, someone that was actually good in the MLB? Like, why do we expect Brian Cashman to be trading for Eniero Suarez?
I'm like, three. I mean, like, he did trade for Jazz Chisholm, who's been pretty good. He did trade Cody Poteet for Cody Bellinger, who's been pretty good. But three prospects, I'm trying to think. Like, Frankie Montas trade was a bust. Obviously, Gallo, Benintendi. I don't know. That's a brain buster. I need a pen and pad to write it out. Go back some years. When did Cashman give up? You got to go back. You really do have to go back some years. Not this era of the Yankees, because there's nobody playing on the Yankees right now that was traded for that you can say, hey, this is like Giancarlo Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton was in a trade.
I'm just trying to, like, what's, like, why are we expecting Brian Cashman to be trading for?
We're not, honestly. And I'll keep putting the disclaimer on it myself. I keep saying, hey, I'm not getting my hopes up. I've been hurt too many times before. Don't don't get your hopes up, because at the end of the day, like, Brian Cashman's not getting fleeced. Brian Cashman will tell you we have enough. You know, the deadline, we've seen deadlines hit, and it's like, that's it? Nothing more? Couldn't get anything else? All right. So, yeah, don't set yourself up for failure. If you don't have expectations, you can't be disappointed.
That's true. I'm saying, whatever. I'm just like, I'm trying to understand why everyone's thinking this year is going to be the year that Cashman's going to be trading for Suarez.
I'll say this, because I've never heard Cashman come out, and I know Cashman is smart, and I don't know how to read him sometimes. But Cashman came out and said, we're going to go to town. And then he listed all of his needs. So I'm like, yo, is this a bluff? Or is this a call to the league? Like, yo, we are open for business. You know what we need. It's obvious what we need. Hit me up.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't really know about that.
Which one? It's a bluff or a call to action?
About what he said, that he needs, that he's going to actually trade. Because he needs to do all his needs. Like, I don't really know about what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't know either. How old are you, Jack? You seem like a Yankee fan that's like, bruh, fool me, can't fool me again. I've been through this before.
I'm like 17.
Oh, yeah. So in this era of the Yankees, you're like, why? Like, what? Like, again, it's just going to be what we have. And again, like, they're not coming through with a trade deadline to give us a haul like teams like the, you know, Rangers did when they won it 2 years ago. Like, You know, even like the Dodgers, almost every single year at the trade deadline, it's like, well, damn, they went and got Jack Flaherty, they got Tommy Edman, they got some relievers, they added this guy and that guy. Like,
yeah, I know. It's just, like, so annoying. Like, I feel like Cashman has to be start learning from other teams.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's his job is hard. I don't envy his position. It's hard to be the GM of the New York Yankees, who's been the GM of the New York Yankees for so long, and try and go and tell these guys what you want, what you need, without them trying to stick you up.
Yep. Yeah, whatever. Let's just hope we'll do something this year.
Third base. If they do nothing else, a third baseman is needed. We cannot have Volpe and Peraza at the bottom of this order. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Thanks for the call, Jack. 888-808-1019. Yeah, if you go back, like, I just was listening. I was just listing the, Harrison Bader and Jordan Montgomery, Benintendi. I don't even remember what they gave up for him. I know they gave up Ezekiel Duran, Josh Smith, and someone else for Joey Gallo. I know they gave up J.P. Sears, Luis Medina, Ken Waldichuk for Frankie Montas, and that was stupid as hell. Because that was a pivot from not going to get Luis Castillo because they prospect hug Volpe and Peraza. Like, it was either one or, I know, it was either one or the other. They wanted a shortstop. They wanted Volpe or Peraza. And Cashman said, no, they're both mine. And now look where we are. Jack in Wyckoff. Jack, you had the location that started with a W, so you went second.
Oh, it's all good, Keith. How's it going?
It's going quickly.
Yeah. So I just want to keep talking about Volpe a little bit. I think you talked about he might be locked up for another 2 or 3 years. That I just have zero confidence that he'll be able to produce eventually in any way. Like, if his glove isn't going, then there's zero reason for him to be on a team. And I think, like, he's 5'9". You want another 5'9" guy with pop, speed, good arm. I have the perfect guy. His name's Nico Logothetis. Absolute beast out of Rampo High School. I was watching him hit batting practice the other day at Sycamack Elementary, and just bombs into the trees.
Who?
Nico Logothetis.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But back to Volpe. Back to Volpe.
Yeah.
We've seen him hit 20 homers. We've seen him steal some bases. We've seen him hit doubles. I mean, he's on pace this year to have a decent year. He's got to cut down the strikeouts. He's got to have a better approach at the plate. He's got to come through with runners on base, and it doesn't always have to be a homer. He's got to be better. But I don't know. They feel like it's in there. Once upon a time, he was a better hitter than he's shown, and they feel like they got to get it out of him. But I don't know. It might not. And I understand there's a lot of you that are like, we have a large enough sample size. I think we've seen something like 1,600 at-bats. Like, What else do you need to see?
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if you saw, Michael Kay was talking about a clip that I saw him talking about a clip today that after the interview, Meredith Marakovich like had said something about Volpe.
Yeah.
And he went off. It was like, so I think he really believes in him, and that definitely gives me hope, but I just don't think there is much of that.
It doesn't give me hope. Doesn't give me hope. Thanks for the call, Jack. I'll say this. Like, I heard the clip, and if you didn't hear the clip, it's basically Michael Kay talking about a line of questioning from Meredith Marakovich that rubbed Aaron Boone the wrong way, where Boone got off the podium and supposedly, like, Jason Zillow ended the media questioning, and Boone was upset by it, and he replied after, like, off camera. But it's nothing's off camera in there in that media room. I've been down there. Like, all the reporters are down there. Joel Sherman, Bob Clapp, all these guys are down. Brendan Cuddy, Brian Hoke, the Chris Kirstner, all these guys are there. So anything that's said, like, it's not off the record if it's in that room. Obviously, the case they're putting right on the record, which goes on the internet. But supposedly, Boone got kind of perturbed, and he said, you know, he's bleeping elite. Like, kind of like, you know, like if someone said you did something and you didn't do it, you'd be like, I didn't bleep and do it. Like, emphatically. And it's like, I don't know. And it's funny, I heard the caser the other day say my line, but he he changed it some. But I said, yo, don't piss on my head and tell me it's raining. We watch the games. We're at the stadium, bro. We watch every play. We watch every pitch. You can't tell us somebody's elite with mad errors. You can't tell us somebody's elite when they don't know where to go with the ball. We want them to be elite. But you can't just want somebody to be elite. They have to show you. Aaron Judge is elite. We don't question that. Cody Bellinger's defense is elite. We don't question that. Paul Goldschmidt's defense at first base is elite. We don't question that. Hell, you guys put Jazz at the position where he wasn't elite. As soon as you put him back at second base, we watch the games. We can see the complete difference between Jazz and DJ at second base. But I don't know. It does kind of worry me that it's like they get like so defensive. I wasn't in that media room, but I watch Talking Yanks on Tuesdays or whenever it is to hear what Boone has to say. And Boone gets hella defensive when it comes to Volpe, and I'm like, why is that? Why is that? I don't know. Nobody else. It's like, and I understand protecting the kid, and I know he's a nice kid. And we're all rooting for him. But, yeah, we're rooting for the Yankees before we're rooting for any individuals. They booed Aaron Judge. They booed Stan. They booed any of these guys. I was in there. They were chanting, we want Weaver with Devin Williams on him. Like, nobody's beyond reproach. So, like, when guys aren't doing it, like, it's not for, like, it can't last forever. It can't last forever. It's got to change. I hope he's having an amazing All-Star break. I hope they got him to do some meditation. Maybe he jumped in a cold plunge. Maybe he watched some movies. Maybe he didn't even think about baseball. I don't know. Because, like, this is it, man. And when I say it's in there, like, he did hit a grand slam in the World Series. He did have a good run through the postseason. And that came after some time off. They rested him at the end of the year. It's tough. The kid grew up here in this area as a Yankee fan with a family of Yankee fans where, like, this Yankee stuff is a religion to all of us, a lot of us. Yeah, it's that to him too. I can't imagine the pressure of, like, being that guy, being the Yankee shortstop, and then everywhere you go, like, if you're not doing well, like, you hear about it, and whatever, though. Like, we're trying to win. It's a 16-year drought. Anyway, let's see what else the chat is talking about. We'll get back to the phones, though. Let's see. I got Ross in Burton County checking in. I got a Mets call. Of course, some Yankee calls. Justin in the chat says, who trolls more, Blue Jays fans or Mets fans? I don't really encounter too much Blue Jays fans. There's just that one nerd Blue Jays fan with the glasses that's always, like, posting videos as he's watching the games and stuff. That's the only one that I caught on Twitter. He was just really hype off the sweep. Like, I got some Mets fan trolls that, like, they troll every one of my tweets. Like, even when I'm not talking about the Mets or Juan Soto, even when I turn down the troll stuff, it's like, they got post notifications on me to, you know, just respond with. Like, most of them are muted. That's why I don't even trip. Like, I can't. It just says, this post is muted. This post comes from an account you muted. And sometimes I click on it to see. But for the most part, I'm not actually, you know, like, seeking out that. All right, back to the phone we go. Willis is in West Milford, New Jersey. Willis, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you?
What you talking about, Willis? Welcome.
Yeah. Absolutely, Austin Riley is the perfect fit for the Yankees. You know it. I mean, he needs to be on the Yankees. The Braves are in a big trouble right now. So, sorry. We could trade Dominguez. We can trade.
Did you hear the call? I think in the 9 o'clock hour that suggested we trade Dominguez for Austin Riley. And I don't know. I'm not getting rid of Dominguez, but I guess I would do it for Austin Riley because, like, you would immediately fill third base with a bat, and then you won't lose anything in the outfield.
Exactly.
But are the Braves really entering this trade deadline doing that kind of business, breaking up?
They should. They absolutely should.
I don't know.
It's the problem is the Yankees with we don't want to take on the additional salary, but we should do that. You know, we should be that way, and we need bullpen arms more than starters.
Yeah, and his salary's not even crazy, but you're 100% right about that with the Yankees. They'd look at his contract and be like, not with this payroll. We're already paying DJ to go away.
Yeah, but we also are the top revenue generator
by a lot.
Baseball by a mile.
Yeah, and if you go back to the World Series and win it this time, money really isn't a thing. Like, it does not matter.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at what we dealt with. Judge going for a 60, you know, breaking the record. And then, like, over and over and over, we're getting so much money as a Yankee fan. It's just, it's horrible. I mean, the Yankees need to be about winning. That's what it needs to be about.
Above anything else. Thanks for the call, Willis. So, yeah, maybe Austin Riley. I don't think the Braves deal him. And also with Austin Riley, I was just looking at his contract. Austin Riley contract. He signed to a 10-year, $212 million deal. And for this year, he's making $22 million. And the Yankees are paying DJ LeMahieu $22 million to go away this year into next year. Like, do they take on that salary and go? I don't know. It would only be half of that because we're halfway through the year. It'd be $11 million. I would do it. But I don't know if the Yankees would do it. We're just throwing out names, throwing out options. In the chat, as I speak of the Met fans trolling me, Baj Meat writes, I've been watching your stream for 8 minutes and haven't heard you mention Juan or Soto. Who are you and what have you done with KM? I did the Juan Soto stuff. We all do the Juan Soto stuff. Then on my TikTok and my Instagram, I always go, yo, this dude can't keep Juan Soto's name out of his mouth. I'm like, bro, I work at WFAN. You guys think go back. Some of y'all were aware of me before I got on the Fan. I never talked about the Mets or Mets players. He's a Met. He gets talked about all day. I turn on the station. I'm like, I start putting my notes together. I'm like, oh, I guess we're going to hit this Juan Soto conversation tonight. You guys think it's just me forcing the Juan Soto conversation. Michael Griffin writes, deal with the Pirates for Hayes. By far, he's the best defensive third baseman. Not just available, but overall, he's got the best range. So add Bednar and Hayes. Cashman will take the third base defense with the elite range. That'll help Volpe. And then obviously Bednar. I suggested Bednar in a deal with. I think Key Brian Hayes comes here and obviously following in the footsteps of his dad. And then you got him and you got Cody Bellinger. They got, you know, Cody Bellinger's dad is always around the stadium. Shout out to Clay Bellinger. He'd be in the bars. I heard he was in the dugout. I heard he was in Billy's. I'm like, yo, I got to run into him, get a shot with him, get a beer with him. I think, and I know Charlie Hayes. I see Charlie Hayes in Legends. I know he's around. Key Brian Hayes will be motivated to come here and hit. No worries about the defense. If they could package up some kind of deal to get David Bednar as well, woo, that sounds good to me. Let's go to OZ in Red Bank before we go to the break. Did I say your name right?
Hello.
Hello. Is it OZ, Ozzy?
It's O's, actually, like the end of Oreos or Cheerios.
O's. What's up, O's?
Yes. How you doing? Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller. Just had a question about the Yankees. I'm a big-time Yankees fan. Was just wondering, Cody Bellinger, I mean, aside from probably, like, the first month of the season, he's been, like, our second hottest hitter, I would say. Without looking at his contract details in front of me, I think that this is the last year of his deal. Do you think we'll pursue, like, bringing him back long-term? And also, on a second note, do you think that it will affect our chances of possibly going after Tucker?
I don't think they'll go after Kyle Tucker. Thanks for the call, O's. I don't think they'll go after Kyle Tucker because, like, I think I was just talking about this on a kid's podcast I did. Kyle Tucker now is the top free agent. Vladdy is signed. Like, Kyle Tucker is going to get, like, I don't know, $600 million? Like, I don't think the Yankees are playing for... I don't think they're looking for Kyle Tucker. Cody Bellinger has a player option where why would he opt in to that player option next year? I think that he's going to work with the Yankees on some type of extension and deal. Everything that we've heard is that he loves being a Yankee. Clearly, he's having a good time here. He's productive here, and the Yankees would be wise to, like, you know, he's 30 years old, maybe extend him for another 3-4 years and, like, see what you can do with that money, see what he's willing to do. I don't think he's trying to hit the open market, and I think he's made some money in his career. Like, I think that's perfectly fine. I think if he opted in, I don't have it right in front of me, but I think it was, like, $24 million or something like that. Cody Bellinger contract. Cody Bellinger's got a 3-year, $80 million deal with the Cubs. Well, not now. Player options after the first and second years. We got a break here, but let's see. $25 million. $24 million against the luxury tax. Okay, here it comes, folks. I will pick a big shot of the night, and we will take your calls open mic style. Whatever you want to talk about, I see Mets fans on the line. I see Yankee fans on the line. I said Ross and Bergen County's on the line. We'll probably go to him first. So we'll do the big shot of the night, and we'll bring this thing home by midnight. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. KM to AM returns right after this.
Hey, it's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Comedy Podcast. We've been described as unscripted, unqualified, and unapologetic. And that came from my mother. See if you agree. The Commercial Break is available Tuesday through Friday, wherever you get your podcasts.